Welcome to The Avenue. I'm your host, Zara Chanel. Thank you for tuning into this week's episode. Now, we have a lot to discuss, so let's just get right on into it. Hey, guys. Welcome to 2019. Fresh new year, fresh start. Haven't talked to you guys since last year. You know, there's always that one coworker that when you go back to work, it's like the next day, oh, haven't talked to you since last year. How are things going? Well, I'm going to be that corny coworker today. I just want to start things off on a positive note because this episode is going down. I mean, it's going to be what it's going to be. I had a great Christmas. I hope you guys did as well. Despite the weight gain, y'all, I cooked so much food between Thanksgiving and Christmas. I probably put on like 10 pounds, so we're going to have to work that off. You know, that's on my resolution list. Yes, I have a few resolutions. I know some of y'all really get offended when people ask y'all that. I don't do that. I don't put those. Okay, well, I have a few, all right? And one, yeah, I want to get in shape. I want to be in better shape, be healthier. That seems to be a constant thing every year because, you know, us women, we are always on a diet. We're always talking about a diet, no matter how big or small. It's just, I'm telling you, just go up to a woman. If you're trying to make friends with other women, just go up to her and start talking about your diet because we can all relate. Trust me. Another thing I want to do, my other resolution, is pretty much put down a cell phone and kind of live in the moment more, especially with my kids, be more present with my kids. And my last one, and I think this is very important, is to make time for people who make time for me. So I want you to get a piece of paper right now. Got it? So I want you to write down everybody's name in your life that makes time for you. And everybody's name who is on that list, those are the people who you are going to make time for. Everybody else, just let them go. Let that sink in for a minute. So by now, I know we've all seen the 5-part documentary, Surviving R. Kelly, on Lifetime. Now, when I first heard about this, I saw it on YouTube. I saw the trailer. And I said, what? I said, Lifetime is doing all this? So I'm thinking, well, you know, it's Lifetime, so they're not going to really go in. They're just going to, like, you know, brush it over lightly. But I guess I don't know Lifetime like I thought I knew Lifetime. 5 episodes over a three-day period. I'm still, like, shook. I'm shooken up. I feel like I need to, you know, I feel like I'm surviving R. Kelly. And I just watched a documentary, so I can't imagine what these young ladies that are actually going through this, I mean, and have gone through this, the Aaliyah thing. Let's start off with Aaliyah. Now, this Aaliyah thing, this really touched me deeply because I lived through this. I remember all this vividly. I remember the whole marriage being announced and how they got it annulled. And I just don't understand why everybody just let it slide. I just don't get it. It was so obvious, like they were playing lyrics from AJ Nothing But a Number. And a lyric in a song is, boy, be brave, because tonight we're going to go all the way. Now, this is a 15-year-old child. Now, her parents dropping her off at the studio and leaving her at the studio with this man. So why is your 15-year-old child singing about, be brave, tonight we're going to go all the way? You know, this is, you know, I don't know the situation, but from outside looking in, this looks like some people just throwing your child to the wolves because you're trying to make a profit. Now, this is the same thing that happened with Whitney Houston. And no, Whitney Houston was not a child, but her family just overlooked the fact that she was snorting everything up her nose and getting high as I don't know what, because she was making so much money and she was taking care of everybody. I cannot judge these people, but I just cannot fathom leaving my 12-year-old child, 13, 14. I cannot imagine leaving my child in a studio with a grown man. I just can't imagine doing that. But I can't judge because I don't know these people's situations. I don't know what it was that made them think that they could trust him. I do know that Aaliyah's mother made a statement after the documentary and said that, you know, these allegations aren't true. I was with her whenever she went on tour. Wherever she went, I was with her. Just to be fair, that was her mother's statement. Now, I mean, and you cannot just blame R. Kelly because there were so many people around, so many people enabling this, so many people turning their head to what was going on. People saying things like, oh, I saw him with all these girls and I could tell they were young. But I didn't want to be a part of any of that. So I just walked away. I'm like, huh? But what about the girls? Nobody cared about these girls who were being taken advantage of. So back to the marriage license. When it came out, I just remember thinking like, well, I guess it happened since we saw the proof. But I was very young and neither one of them ever said anything about it. Aaliyah never said anything about it. R. Kelly never said anything about it. We kind of just brushed it under the table. But then later on, the sex tape came out, the R. Kelly sex tape, and there were allegedly little girls on the tape. I don't know. I never saw the tape. But the tape was everywhere. I even remember the tape being sold like on the street corners. Like the tape was everywhere. And during his case, due to these sex tapes being released, he was still making hits. Hit after hit after hit after hit. And not only was he still making these hits and we're still going to his shows, buying his music, he was married and still taking advantage of these young women. And even if he was, there were some women that were of age, but he still, you know, only dealt with women that he could take advantage of, he could control, and, you know, pretty much lock them up in a house. I mean, I can't even. All right. So during the time, I remember the sex tapes coming out, and everybody I knew and everybody that was talking about it in the media said, oh, yeah, that was him. Yeah, that was him. And it was a little girl, and he was urinating on the little girl. And we kind of brushed that under the rug, too. No, it was like all this happened and there were like no, you know, I guess he went on trial. He got acquitted and there were like no repercussions. Everybody's just like, oh, yeah, R. Kelly, step in the name of love. It was still going on. So I just don't understand why we just let it slide like that. And I'm guilty of it, too, because I was still listening to his music. But I just don't, I really don't know. And I feel horrible. And maybe it's because we didn't know the extent of what was going on. And you know, in our mind, we're like, okay, well, he got acquitted or, you know, he did that. Maybe he did that once and then it's just not happening anymore. But we just, you know, R. Kelly, greatest king of R&B or whatever they were calling him. And then we have Sparkle. She was an R&B singer also from the 90s. I remember she had a one hit song and she talked about how R. Kelly was so controlling and how he treated his wife. And she was around him since day one. She used to be his backup singer. So she knew how he was. So I can't understand why she thought it was okay for her 14-year-old niece to be spending time at his house without her there or without her parents there. Why does she think that was okay? And her thing was, oh, she told me there were kids, other kids there, and I thought she was in good hands. Why would you think she would be in good hands? You know this man. If you've been his background singer since day one, you know what was going on. So what was it in you as a black woman that allowed this little girl to be in harm's way, your 14-year-old niece? Okay, but now when the tapes come out and it's all in court, then you want to just, then it's when, okay, well now, no, that's my niece. And then you want to step up. But you should have stepped up and protected that little girl. Why was nobody there to protect that little girl? I'm sorry, Sparkle girl. We don't believe you because there's nothing that you could say to make me honestly believe that you thought that girl was going to be okay. You know what you know what R. Kelly was all about. Everybody else saw it, so why didn't you see it? And you know what? There was this R. Kelly song, and I loved this song. I refused to listen to any of his music any longer. But there was a song called Seems Like You're Ready. If you haven't heard it, don't Google it. Man, the whole time this man is singing about a child. They tell you, like, he was hiding in plain sight. All of his lyrics were telling his life what was going on. Seems like you're ready to go all the way. He's talking about some child. Maybe he found her walking home from high school or something, because apparently he's praying around the high schools and at the mall looking for little girls. And man, if they don't get R. Kelly in jail, if they can get Bill Cosby in jail, they need to get R. Kelly in jail too. And I think this documentary definitely, yeah, this is gonna do, I believe in my heart that this is what's gonna make it happen. You know, my husband said, oh, they ain't gonna lock him up. They ain't locked him yet. They ain't gonna do nothing to him. They ain't gonna touch him. Well, he certainly is not doing any shows anywhere. Who is gonna have him perform? Where is he gonna be performing at? Ain't nobody going to his shows, because who are his biggest fans? Black women. We ain't going for that anymore. I promise you. And you know, he's done interviews where he kind of makes it seem like he doesn't think he's doing anything wrong. I believe he told Wendy Williams he doesn't like underage girls. He likes a certain type of petite girl. But you know what you're doing is wrong, because you wouldn't be going to such extents to cover your tracks if you weren't. You know, you wouldn't be doing things like walking around with one of the girls that you keeping hostage or got brainwashed. And you wouldn't be making a video of y'all shopping and making it look like she's fine and she's where she wants to be. You wouldn't be doing this. You wouldn't be having these girls locked in houses with buckets in the corner so they can pee in, so they won't leave the rooms, if you knew what you was doing was right. You know what you're doing is wrong. Oh, Kelly, and I heard him say, oh, I was molested from the time I was 8 to 13. That's not an excuse, sir. Just because you were molested, that doesn't mean you can go and prey and be a predator and degrade these women sexually and hold them hostage or whatever else you're doing to them. That doesn't excuse that. But that's my mind. I'm not thinking of a mind of a lunatic. And for anybody who thinks, oh, these women are not brainwashed and they can leave anytime they want to leave. No, that's not the case, because this guy is, I've seen this, and they call it a sexual cult, and that's what it is. And these cult leaders, they break you down. They break these women down. You know, well, first, you know, they charm them, make them fall in love. Then they break them down and make them believe, oh, nobody loves you but me. Oh, I'm going to take care of you. They isolate these women from everyone, from the world. Meanwhile, he's physically and sexually abusing these women, instilling fear in them. They are scared to leave him. Now, I am now referring to the women who are still currently living with him, because this mess is still going on in 2018. Still going on. So he still has people enabling him to do this behavior. He still has security watching these girls. He still has people booking flights for these girls, people booking hotel rooms for these girls. There are still people enabling this mess to happen, because I guess he's throwing them a few bucks. And it is in my opinion that they need to go to jail too. Not just him, they need to go too, because they sat back and they're watching it happen. I keep hearing this statement that nobody cares about black women. Black women are the most unprotected. Nobody cares about, and it's true. Ironically, I've been seeing all these videos on social media where black women are being attacked and nobody steps in to do anything. Black women are being physically assaulted. Nobody steps in, and there are other men there, in particular black men, standing around doing nothing. And I think people might look at black women like we are a little aggressive. It's because we have to go extra hard to protect ourselves, to stand up for ourselves, because no one does it. It's like we don't matter. It's been a constant theme in my life. You know, you have to be strong. Even when you don't want to be strong, you have to be strong. Even when you don't have it in you to be strong, you have to be strong. After a certain amount of time, that does something. It hardens you. But back to R. Kelly, I hope he gets locked up as soon as possible so his victims can be released and they can go do what they need to do to get themselves together, get in some therapy ASAP, and stay in there for a while. Because with God, you can come out of this and you can get it together and you can be a productive member of society. You can do it. And as for all of the victims that were on the documentary, I really appreciate you all. I'm praying for you guys. I'm just happy you guys came out and spoke and let us know exactly what's going on, because I am so sure that you prevented plenty of other women from getting in the same situations that you were in, because we were unsure, we were fuzzy, we were cloudy about the details. We didn't know what was going on for sure. But you guys coming on this documentary and speaking your piece just let us know what's really going on. And yeah, if you want to go deal with R. Kelly, this is what you're going to have to deal with. But no, R. Kelly, we got our foot on your neck now. It's not going to slide no more. We're not letting nothing slide. We know what's up. The world knows. And your career is over, sir. It's over. And all that you can do is get on your knees and pray. And I hope it's going to be done in a jail cell. There has to be some justice for what you've done. There has to be some justice served. There has to be some repercussions. Has to be. But I can't judge. I don't mean to sound like I'm judging. We're going to leave it to God. God's going to take care of it. Put it in God's hands. Amen. Okay. All right, boys and girls. Let's get into a quick little health check for a minute. It's a new year. Schedule a physical for yourself. Get some blood work done. Schedule a dentist appointment. Go get that tooth pulled so your breath will stop stinking so bad. Do what you got to do. Take care of yourself. Stay positive. Be a blessing to others so that you may be blessed. Amen. Thank you so much for listening. You can find me on like all podcast platforms. I'm uploaded on YouTube. If you don't have a Podbean or Spotify or SoundCloud or iTunes, etc., you can just listen to me on YouTube, honey. You can always email me at theavenuezc@gmail.com. Everything will be posted in the bio. Is that what it's called? Description box. That's what it's called on YouTube. I don't know. What in the comment section, wherever it's going to be to find my information. Stay blessed. See you next week. Bye.